Because I was lined up with facing the weaknesses inside of me and confronted with my actions and reactions, which I've already shared, I really was, you know, wondering, okay, Lord, this is Christmas season. What do you want me to go with this morning? And because it was children, breakfast, people, circumstances, etc., there was no time to get into the Word except for 3 o'clock this morning. Well, I went with the Lord at 3 o'clock this morning, and there was some revelation there to awaken and to go further. But at least three times, almost audibly, I heard Luke 4. Well, I had no idea what Luke 4 was, so I'm being honest. And this certainly doesn't look like a Christmas message. All right? But the Holy Spirit the other day was showing me that like the firstborn son, his sons, his daughters, would taste very similar types of circumstances. So if you look at why Jesus was born in a stable, if you look at the reason why he was born on a farm, if you wish, instead of where his parents came from, the coordinates to get him to the town of David was a decree from the government. So the government got involved in him coming into life. Yes? Him coming into this earth at the right place, at the right time, for the right reasons.
In fulfillment of prophecy.
And fulfill, correct.
To fulfill the word.
Because his word was already declared way years before. Now, my focus has always been about the firstborn son. But the Holy Spirit was pressing me to say, do you get it, Kim? And I'm saying, Lord, I don't get it. He said, if it happened that way for the firstborn son, it's going to happen the same or similar type of ways for the secondborn son. In other words, you and me. Our sonship before God. So, totally out of the blue, on one of the websites, John Paul Jackson is on. And you know how the Holy Spirit wants to focus you on something? Push that button. So I pushed a button, and of course, I had a lightweight, I would call, very lightweight relationship with John Paul. I had never heard the message that was on that particular YouTube video. It was all about, he had just lost his dad a few days before. So he gives the testimony that after he gets done teaching in, I believe, New York State or New Jersey, not sure which church, that he has to go back, and now he's going to be going back home and flying and then going through the burial of his dad. He shares about he was an 11th hour prophet. He says, by the way, I don't call myself a prophet. That was the word that his mother got because his mother carried him for 11 months. That I knew because he had witnessed that when I was with him. He had shared that his mother had to put up with this baby in her womb for 11 months because it would be a sign to the unbelievers that he would be an 11th hour prophet. So, he's sharing about the loss of his dad, sharing about him and his dad being on separate planets because of his stubbornness. He said, I got 11 spankings for going across the street when I was told not to, and 11 times I insisted I was right, and for 11 times my father spanked me, and I got the spanking 11 times because I refused to bow. So, he says, my mother told me I was so stubborn I wouldn't come out of the womb. So, he was questioning God about all this, and one day he was just sitting before the Lord. He didn't feel good, told the kids to go off to school. I'm going back to bed. I just don't feel right. And gets back into bed, shuts the light off, and for some odd reason, it's still light in the bedroom. Well, the light got brighter and brighter, and then the disappearing of all the things around him was part of what happened. It's like you lose the walls, you lose the ceiling, you lose everything except you and the light. Well, I've had that happen. I've lived that type of thing. So now I'm getting excited. What I didn't realize is while he was there, the Lord showed him a picture of his mother drinking castor oil, trying to get rid of this child. Of course, the mother never told him about that. Well, that's what happened to Irene and I. When our first one came, that was what my mother suggested, and obviously the baby came. But for his case, even if she drank it many times trying to induce the body to bring forth the birth, it didn't work. The second vision is of her trying to come down the stairs on her bum, trying to force the baby out. Well, now he declares that to his mother. And she said, nobody but God could have showed you, because I would have never shared this. But I did those things. He said, Ma, what were you trying to do? She says, you were stubborn even then. So I'm listening to this. And I said to the Lord, why am I listening to this? And the teaching was good. I'm not trying to say the teaching wasn't good. But it was to say, my father invested in me accountability. My mother showed me how stubborn I could be, even coming out of the womb. He says, because all of us are coming into the realm of the spirit as sons, but we are stubborn in our entrance. And of course, by all means, I shared with you guys what happened when I saw myself last night. So I said, okay, God, I got the message, until I got to Luke 4 this morning. He told me to go to the Amplified. So are you ready? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
My eyes see.
My eyes see.
My ears hear.
My ears hear.
And my spirit is perceiving.
And my spirit is perceiving.
You are speaking to me.
You are speaking to me.
Amen.
Amen.
Then Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Press in. Then Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. If you go no further than that and can declare it as truth, you're on your road to sonship. Then Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led in by the Holy Spirit for during 40 days in the wilderness or desert, where he was tempted, tried, tested exceedingly by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were completed, obviously he was hungry. Then the devil said to him, if, you should have a circle on the if part. If you are the Son of God, order this stone to turn into a loaf of bread. And Jesus replied to him, "It is written, man shall not live and be sustained by on bread alone, but by every word and expression of God." I want to take that and dissect it just a hair. Every word and expression of God. When I'm aware that I see myself doing something off center, it's not always a word. Sometimes it's something inside. What you shared about your movie experience, and you watched how your expression changed when you realized, why was this not something fun like it used to be? Right?
Yeah, because I felt guilty.
It's an expression there, yeah, that's coming in. Myself, watching my reactions and then hearing my wife's words, "Kim, you don't see yourself." I mean, it wasn't an accusing thing. It was, are you aware? Are you conscious? Okay? So Jesus replied to him, meaning the enemy, "It is written, man shall not live and be sustained by bread alone, but by every word and expression of God." And it's confirmed in Deuteronomy 8:3. Expressions of God are really the godly attributes that you have already. And they're in seed form. Now, you also have expressions of the enemy. When I saw that anger last night, I knew that didn't come from the Lord. I was instantly aware, what's wrong here? How do I get rid of this? I know it's been there, because I had instant replay of several times when that responded through me, and my wife became fearful. I said, oh, wow. So my cry to the Lord this morning was, I know this is too big for me. And when I took communion, I didn't take it with a particular intention except letting the Holy Spirit pray through me. Because I knew Romans 8 was activated. That communion was to be done so that the Holy Spirit can get that thing out of there. Whatever root system that needs to be exposed, I want it out. Amen. I want it burned up. And I never want it back. Got it? Verse 5. Then the devil took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the habitable world in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye. So that's, to me, a flash vision. So he was able to see in the realm of the spirit. And let's face it, it was induced by darkness. It was induced by demonic presence. Are you hearing? What God can do, much of what God can do, the enemy can do. But it's got to be under the anointing of the darkness or the light. How are you going to know which is which? Verse 6. And he said to him, "To you I will give all this power and authority and their glory." That is, all their magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, and grace. "For it has been turned over to me, and I give it to whom I will." Are you hearing? "Therefore," 7, "if you will do homage to and worship me," and they put the in parentheses just once, "it shall all be yours." Watch again the response from Jesus. He replied to him, "Get behind me, Satan. It is written, you shall not do homage to and worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Deuteronomy 6:13, Deuteronomy 10:20. I want to just kind of get a clue here about what the enemy has been able to do to our firstborn son. The trials are similar for us. I would say they're lighter weight. I would also say what happened to him happens to us according to the coordinates that the Lord puts together for each of us. Because the giftings and callings are different. So we can't compare ourselves to Jesus 100%. His callings and giftings are different. He's the Messiah. But he was the one that showed us the way. The next verse, verse 9. Then he took him to Jerusalem and set him on a gable of the temple. That is transportation. Under demonic action. You've got transportation in the realm of the Spirit by the Holy Spirit when you look at Philip in the book of Acts. But this one is the other. The demonic kingdom was able to take him and put him on a gable of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God," notice again the if, which brings what? Doubt. "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. For it is written," again, the demonic knows the word. "It is written, he will give his angels charge over you." Yes? "To guard and watch over and over you closely and carefully." Psalms 91. That's what he's quoting. "And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." That's Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. So the enemy knows that the angelic is going to have an active work in your life. An active ability to keep you from harm. I should have heard an amen there.
Amen.
Verse 12, "And Jesus replied to him, the scripture says, you shall not tempt or try or test exceedingly the Lord your God." Now, Jesus is declaring who he is. And Satan, watch his reaction. "When the devil had ended the complete cycle of temptation, he left him." Then the word says temporarily. That is, stood off from him until another more opportune and favorable time. Then Jesus went back full of and under the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee, and the fame of him spread through the whole region round about. What does that have to do with Christmas? I believe that Jesus was called Emmanuel. God in us. God with us, God in us. Amen? When he's expecting these sons to come alive and active after the testings, which are, by the way, similar. They're going to be similar, and I believe some of us have been in that dry space for a long time. Desert experience, if you wish. The desert experience can be very, very, very difficult because you're in jail. You're in some form of jail that you may not comprehend or understand. But the Holy Spirit is able to pull you out anytime he wants. He's not going to let you there any longer than you have to be. I don't believe he let Jesus there any longer than he had to be. But if you notice, temporarily, and he's waiting for a what? Another opportune time. Mm-hmm. I want to divert from this for a moment. A week ago, I shared with you guys our experience when I was with Bob at the nursing home and how the neighbor was using every foul word that could come out of his mouth. And Peggy told me the following day, the minute I left, it stopped. Well, on Thursday, I went to visit Bob, and Peggy and him were playing cards. They finished their game, and it was funny. You have to cut the card. They were playing cribbage. And so Peggy cut the card, and he picked a four. Anybody got a clue what the numbers were that Peggy had in her hand?
One, two, three, four.
Of hearts. So she won the game because of one card. I didn't connect the banking angels until just now, but I remember Bob was winning. But because of that cut, he got wiped out. So it opened up a door to discuss things, because that was the last, the game was done, right? So now he's questioning some of the different things that are going on. And we ended up praying. And the neighbor took off. Took off with his walker, and he's walking back and forth in the hallway. Well, Bob is having an issue with something that happened in his life way, way back. And it has to do with one of his family members that supposedly swindled him out of a car. So we don't know if it's truth or not. All we know is it's an issue that needs to be dealt with. So I finally had to really kind of tighten things up with Bob and say, look, the Lord's Prayer doesn't give you any option. You're going to be forgiven in the same way you forgive your brother. Well, he says, it's not fair. I don't think it has anything to do with fair, but so we went into a lot of conversation, and then we prayed and we purposed to forgive. And as we did that, here comes our little trucker in the hallway, stops at the door, starts swearing at me into the room, and Peggy burst into laughter because, let's face it, I mean, it was too obvious. And then he scuttles up the hallway. He did this 5 or 6 times during the time that I was with Bob. So he was looking for a more opportune
time.
Got it? Mm-hmm. The reprieve came back and forth. Peggy, of course, said it was a test. I said, yeah, but I'm used to it. Because whenever you're bringing truth and the spirit of truth is present, okay, I just got to check in my spirit. I want you to close your eyes right now and put one hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit is present.
The Holy Spirit is present.
Right inside of me. And I am a threat.
And I am a threat.
To the darkness. And I don't always perceive it. But I am a threat. Just by speaking the truth. And when I speak the truth, it activates the darkness. And uses different people.
Could be relatives.
Could be friends.
Could be
wife or husband.
But it will activate the darkness.
And it may temporarily move off.
And
wait for a better opportunity.
And wait for a better opportunity.
To bring me down.
To get me away.
From believing
that I am a son of God.
Male or female, I'm still a son of God. And God wants me to declare,
I am
a son of the Most High God.
A son of the Most High God.
And because,
Jesus is my big brother,
the tests are similar. I want to go back to verse 15. And he himself conducted a course of teaching in their synagogues, being recognized and honored and praised by all. So he came to Nazareth, that Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he entered the synagogue as was his custom. On the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And there was handed to him the roll of the book of the prophets, Isaiah. He opened, unrolled the book, and found the place where it was written. Now I want to pause there for a moment. Why this at Christmas time? Because I believe every one of us is going to have an opportunity to declare what Jesus declared. I believe that there will be an open window or an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to decree in your family what the Word says about you.
You know, it's interesting that you pick this.
I told you
I had several revelations this week. One of the ones was a teaching from Joseph Prince.
Yeah.
He was teaching on the total accuracy of the word, and he went into great detail.
Mm-hmm.
So he used Luke 4 to say, notice that just before this, Jesus is being baptized, and the Father appears and says, "You are my beloved Son."
Yeah.
But he said, nowhere. When Jesus answered
no,
the
beloved.
Devil, he doesn't use that. He
no.
said, he expressly says, it is written.
Yeah.
So obviously Joseph Prince was saying, that's your answer right there.
Yeah.
It is written. And because he was enfolding in this, the accuracy of the word, and because he has a lot of connections to the Israel, you know, Israel itself.
Yeah.
And has checked it out.
Yeah.
And he knows fluent Israel,
mm-hmm.
Hebrew, I'm sorry. And he will put up on his screen the words
the word.
Hebrew and shows it.
Right.
So that was his position, kind of what you're saying. It is written.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting that you're...
And beloved.
Yeah.
Beloved is omitted. The enemy never calls Jesus beloved.
That's right.
Never.
But Jesus didn't answer the devil with that expression.
No.
He went right back to the word.
He went directly to the word.
Yeah.
But now watch this next part. Because what I want to have you consider is the declaration to his hometown people. He's ready now to speak what the word says about him and declare it from the word.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen.
So if you will just close your eyes right now, we're going to go with what's written in the Amplified, and your Bible may be just a bit different. And again, I'm going to ask you to put one hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, you proclaimed loud and clear.
You proclaimed loud and clear.
Luke 4:18. And I'm going to declare it.
And I'm going to declare it.
On my behalf. The Spirit of the Lord
is upon me.
Because he has anointed me.
The Anointed One.
To preach
the good news.
The gospel.
To the poor.
He was sent.
He was sent.
I'm sorry. He has sent me.
He has sent me.
To announce. The release of the captives. And recovery of sight.
To the blind.
To send forth. Delivered. Those who are oppressed. Who are downtrodden.
Who are bruised.
Who are crushed. And broken down.
By calamity.
To proclaim.
The accepted.
An acceptable year.
Of the Lord.
The day when salvation. And the free favor of God. Abounds. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Because
you are alive in me. Emmanuel is my name.
Emmanuel is my name.
Just like his.
I give you praise.
For this Christmas season.
It's not going to be like it was last year for me.
It's a new season. And a new boldness.
Is coming into me from God.
So I can be.
What He's called me to be.
And watch the victory.
That He paid for.
Manifest.
Inside of me.
And to touch the anointed ones
that are part of my family.
Because it starts in my hometown.
Just like it started in Jesus' hometown.
And they couldn't handle it. And some of mine might not be able to.
Be in agreement with me.
But that's going to be their problem.
I will be under the anointing of the Holy One of Israel.
To speak your word.
And let them deal with the results.
Amen?
Amen.
And amen.
I already did that once.
Right?
This is a very different Christmas.